You can get the latest odds, offers and more great content at williamhill.com, on the William Hill app and in any of our shops around the UK. The Daily Racing Podcast from William Hill.
And they're off.
Listen to the podcast at williamhill.com/podcast.
Third festival win and the biggest one today.
Or subscribe via iTunes by searching William Hill Podcasts in the music store.
Everyone, welcome back to the Daily Racing Podcast, brought to you by William Hill. It's Monday's edition of the podcast that you join us on. We've got, fingers crossed, three meetings to bring you on Monday. Obviously, the storms that we've had over the course of the last couple of weeks have rather played havoc with the racing, but we are due to have Lingfield, Carlisle and Kempton on the show on Monday. Hopefully you can join us for all of the action. We're on air from 1:20, and Luke Elder joins myself, Sam Norris, to take a look at a couple of races on Monday. First things first, Luke, how are you?
I'm good. I'm okay. A bit coffee, but...
A bit coffee?
Yeah. Mm. Nothing too much that I'm worried about it, but...
Right, okay. Am I a safe distance away from you?
Yeah, we haven't kissed yet today, so...
Not yet.
Yeah, as long as we don't do that, yeah, okay. I think you're going to be okay.
Good. Good to know. Let's look back on some of Sunday's racing to start with. Obviously, Navan, the kind of most informative card that we had on Sunday. And we'll go back to the 150 to begin our look back. The Boyne Hurdle won on the snaff last year, really, by Tiger Roll en route to cross-country glory. And then, obviously, the Grand National, similar route planned for Tiger Roll this year, was sent off at 8-1 today. Obviously, it wasn't really entitled to be winning the race, but then again, he wasn't last year, and he won it at 25-1. Still went the way of Gordon Elliott and Giggenstown, though, cracking smart the winner. We'll get to the winner in a moment, because I don't want to disregard the horse that won the race, but perhaps the most interesting horse finished fifth. Were you suitably pleased with his return to action, Tiger Roll? Obviously, he'd only been back cantering since the start of the year. And was that a satisfactory seasonal debut?
I think he did his job, didn't he? I mean, two from home, he still had a chance of winning. He blew up a little bit. He tired and faltered into fifth place. I think he did everything that Gordon Elliott would have wanted him to do. Going towards the cross country at Cheltenham, and obviously the Grand National as the main aim. But he ran well enough. We were warned beforehand by Gordon Elliott not to expect fireworks, but we were told similar before he absolutely bolted up in the race 12 months ago. But look, it was satisfactory, wasn't it? You still think he's going to take a heck of a lot of beating at both Cheltenham and at Aintree, but today was a good starting point.
A horse that he beat at Aintree, of course, last year, Magic of Light, also running in the race. Stone last for Magic of Light. What did you make of her return? She was actually making the running in the early part of the race.
Yeah, I mean, it's not really her trip, is it? 2.5. She wants about 7 miles, Magic of Light. I imagine she'll be going back to Aintree as well in due course. Not often you get the first and second from the Grand National meeting in a Grade 2 hurdle over in Ireland, but that's what we had today. One... Obviously, at Ascot back in January, that was in desperate ground, beating Sensiolano. Probably wasn't the strongest of races either, with, I think, Papagano was third. I think she's now been retired. But it was still a touch disappointing. However, with Magic of Light, again, it's very much just going to be a pointer towards Aintree. Has got an entry at Cheltenham. It is entered in the Mayor's Hurdle. If she does run in that, I think it would very much just be a yet another stepping stone, if we pick up prize money, great, towards the Grand National once more.
And the only other beaten horse that I wanted to mention was Penn Hill, who obviously finished in second. We know a talented individual, but a delicate one. We don't get to see loads of Penn Hill. But that was a fairly encouraging effort and might just put him spot on for a tilt at the Stayers.
Yeah, I mean, you say he's fragile. He's seemingly getting better, because we've seen him four times this year.
Yeah, that is a career best for him, really, isn't it?
I think the last four, five seasons, we've seen him twice.
Yeah.
In each season. Obviously, we usually see him to very good effect, winning the Albert Bartlett in 2017, winning the Stayers Hurdle in 2018, before going on to be second at Punchestown in both seasons. But look, he ran well enough, didn't he, behind Cracking Smart. The winner does temper enthusiasm a little bit. It's annoying for me. I had him in my tracker for a while thinking he'd be a lovely chaser. He jumps fences horrifically. Yeah. He looks every inch a chaser, but he's the perfect example that well-built horses can look as much like a chaser as you want. Some of them just do not take defences at all. They might have another go at it in the future, but look, if he's winning grade twos over hurdles, why?
Yeah, sure. The first win since 2017 for Cracking Smart. But as you say, the fact that SP was 16-1 in the end, but was freely available at 22s and 25s in the morning. Does that make you question the overall form of the race?
A little bit. I mean, he'd been running in some okay races, Cracking Smart. You thought he was going down the handicap route, and he might even be a Coral Cup horse for the Cheltenham Festival, but that's all but been ruined now at a touch because he's off a mark of 1.45 today. He might go for I don't even know if he's got an entry in there. No, he's not even got an entry in a stayers hurdle.
Right,
That's at the moment not a thing. It might just be a case of Gordon Elliott sits back and goes, oh, didn't realise he could do that.
Yeah.
Look, we might see a bit better from him. You go back to his novice days as a novice hurdler, and he was one of the best ones around. He just never really went on from it. I mean, he finished behind the likes of Next Destination at Nace in Grade 1 Company. Next Destination at the time was one of the real novices to beat. He was a horse that, I think he went to the festival and he ran okay in the Ballymore, I think it was. Yeah, he was third behind Sam Crow. Mm. And then he beat Delta Work in a grade one at Punchestown. So he was a very, very good novice. He's just not quite built on that afterwards, Cracking Smart. But you would hope that he can carry that form forward and we might get to see the old Cracking Smart back again.
Yeah, fingers crossed. Onto the grade two novice chase that we had on the card as well, the 4 o'clock, the 10 up novices chase, won by Captain CJ, this one, who beat Elwood and Speakeasy. First things first, just great, as it always is, to see a more less heralded stable winning a race of some note. Gordon Elliott, Joseph O'Brien, Noel Mead and Jessica Harrington all sent runners, but it was Dermot McLachlan that took the prize with Captain CJ. First and foremost, we always like to see that, a bit of competitiveness. And he's starting to build up into an all right horse, Captain CJ. The balance of his form looks all right behind Manila Indo.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Manila Indo backers must be breathing a real sigh of relief because his form building up to this over fences was...
Yep.
It wasn't great, was it? But he had Captain CJ in behind last time around. First approached him behind. Obviously, he took a fall. I hope he's okay, actually, because he was down for a little while after that early fall. But Captain CJ did it nicely enough. You would think that he might... Well, he will come up short, you would say, when he takes on real good grade one horses. He might run okay, but look, he's a nine-year-old now. He's relatively exposed, isn't he? But a shout-out to McLachlan. He's got a few nice horses around. Space Cadet's one of his more seasoned horses. He's got another horse that I hope will go to the Cheltenham Festival. He's been desperately trying to get another run into him called Cedarwood Road, who won on Boxing Day at Leopardstown. I think it was the first race of the day.
Yeah, he was due to run at Punchestown, wasn't he? And they've obviously lost that
meeting twice. Yeah. I think he's been entered three or four times and all meetings have been abandoned.
Really?
I think it's a case of Dermot McLachlan trying, we need to run him before Cheltenham.
Yeah, yeah.
And just the meetings aren't there. He cannot get a meeting on for Cedarwood Road to run. And I think one of the races was rearranged. I'd love to see him get to Cheltenham, but he's just running out of time now, isn't he?
Yeah, absolutely.
But Captain CJ's good as well.
Yes. onto the bumper as well, then, because this was kind of a case of, well, bubble burst in many respects, because Bally Adam only finished third in the end, beaten by Julie Stowaway and Delvino. Came with a lofty reputation, a monster price tag, won an Irish point-to-point at Port Rush and then changed hands for $330,000. Went to, obviously, last year's champion bumper, winning connections in Cheveley Park and Gordon Elliott, and just had a very, very lofty reputation and was second favourite before today for the champion bumper. If he was to be taking up that engagement, you wanted him to win an average Navan bumper in good style. Seems to travel okay, but there wasn't that much at the end of the race, really.
He travelled really powerfully, didn't he? He might have over-raced a little bit. There were times that Jamie Codd was having to take a pull and then a pull again just to stop him over-racing down the back straight. He wanted to do everything just a little bit too fast. But I mean, I saw him get sold back at Cheltenham in November. He was sold on the day, the Friday of the November meeting that was abandoned, where they moved the sales up a little bit. He didn't look a spectacular individual physically when they were walking him round, but he fetched 330,000. He's related to a few pretty classy winners, so you wouldn't give up on him straight away. He's obviously still got a bit of an engine, but at the same time, he was 1-4 today. He was backed as if he was a very, very good horse for the Champion Mumfrey. He was 6-1 before that with us, William Hill. You wouldn't be running out to be backing him for a Champion Mumfrey at the moment, especially with the Mullins horse. Appreciate it, is it?
Yep.
The one at the Dublin Racing Festival. He looks like he could be a very, very good horse to go forward with. And I made the case in the TV preview for this race, so that it might just be a few people, and I'd say it's unlikely, but it could just be a few people seeing Cheveley Park Stud Colours, Gordon Elliott, Envoy LN, won the Champion Bumper last year, putting 2 and 2 together and getting 5. At the moment, it might be a little bit towards that side, but the support that's been coming in for Ballyadam both today and also for the Champion Bumper would suggest that somebody somewhere thinks that he's a very good horse.
Yeah, that's obviously gone the other way now for the Champion Bumper. Now 14-1 here at William Hill. From memory, is this the race that you would lose from the Cheltenham Festival if you had to?
Yeah, I'd get rid of it.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Okay.
Bumper horses shouldn't be championed.
Everyone now has to have a race in their mind that they would hypothetically get rid of, even though none of us will ever make the decision.
My list was create 7 races that you want to get rid of and make it 3 days again.
Right, okay, yeah.
But why do we champion bumper horses? Bumpers are meant to be educational.
We still need a best one, though.
Yeah, okay, have it elsewhere.
If we don't have a Champion Bumper, who are we going to make favourite for all the novice races next year when we price up the festival the Saturday after this year's festival?
We'll do it in a more reasonable manner. That horse is a good jump source. I mean, okay, very quickly, since 2007, we'll start at Corkle Star, very good bumper horse.
Yeah.
Hurdles, no. Cousin Vinny, very good bumper horse. Hurdles, eh. Dungwib, very good bumper horse. Hurdles, couldn't jump him. Was a machine, though. Cue Card, very good. Yep. Cheltenian was a very good bumper horse. He was a useful hurdler, wasn't he? Cheltenian, probably been a bit harsh to him. Champagne Fever was brilliant. Briarhill was... We probably never saw the best of Briarhill, in truth. Silver Concord won the Champion Bumper, and then straight away Dermot World thought, Zed, I think he could be Melbourne Cup horse. So that's a flat horse that's winning that race. Moon Racer, obviously, again, we never really got to see the best of him. Ballyandy is now coming good. After a few years of he's not quite what we thought. Fiona, obviously, we never got to see. Relegate can't jump hurdles to save her life. Envoy LN is one that bucks a trend. There are more Champion Bumper winners that are useless over hurdles compared to what they did in the bumper sphere. We shouldn't be celebrating. We shouldn't be championing bumper horses.
Okay, fair enough.
Do you not agree?
In part, but I think... I understand what you're saying about them being educational races, but I think we need a champion of that division. Just more to kind of form.
Have it a Royal Ascot then.
Vague opinions.
It's a flat race. I am being a bit facetious.
For novice hurdles going forward. If I had to get rid of one race, it wouldn't be that one.
What would you get rid of?
Well, probably the new mayor, the new mayor's
race. Yeah, the new mayor's race doesn't exist yet, and the mayor's novice can go as well.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. That's what I meant. I'd get rid of the mares and obviously.
The new one.
The newest race. Yeah. I'm not in favour of the new one anyway. But yeah. I'd get rid of the newest one.
I wouldn't get rid of the.
And then following that, maybe something I've never backed the winner of, like, something like the Martin Pipe or the Kimio, which
you'd just be
never,
selfish.
Yeah, which I just never ever find the winner of. Get rid.
Fair enough.
Get rid.
That's a whole new podcast. That one.
Yeah. And to be fair, the conversation has been done to death, hasn't it? Really. And it won't be us making the decisions.
Let's
about,
do it again.
About which races are lost in the festival. Anything else over the course of the weekend? It was a mixed day Saturday. I suppose we had, you know, a lot of sad stories. Catchy being one in particular. It was great to see Surname get up on the flip side, and obviously we saw, some great shots of connections and those that look after Surname on a day to day basis, just reaffirming the knowledge that. How much love these people have for the horses, but it was felt a bit of a mixed day Saturday.
Yeah, I mean, the feeling that I think every racing fan had in their their throats when Surname was still down was, not another one today. You couldn't lose the best flat horse that's running at the moment because it's the weather season.
Yeah.
And the best rated jumps horse around at the moment. Thankfully, he got up. He seemed to be none the worse for wear as well. He just looked to be a little bit winded, the report from Paul Nicholls. But thank goodness he got up. I mean, seriously gutted for the Moors in that race because Traffic Lube was coming to beat Riders on the Storm.
Oh,
and
yeah.
I think it would have been Josh Moore's first Grade 1 victory as well.
Okay.
As I text Josh Moore last night, say, are you okay? And he goes, yeah, gutted.
Was it? Oh, yeah, it would have been Jamie Moore that rode Side of Grugy, wouldn't it?
Yeah,
of course, yeah.
Jamie did all the riding on Ewback as well.
Oh, right.
When he was a novice hurdler and won at Aintree. Yeah. But I'm pretty sure that would have been Josh's first Grade 1 winner. I think he's going to go towards the Grand National now, whether he's got a chance in that race, I'm not sure. He's 51st on the list, so he should get in.
Yeah, he'll get a run.
I know Connections very much want to run, and I know from talking to him at the start of the year when I interviewed him that Josh is... has been looking forward to riding him in the National all season. But, I mean, look, he's still no slouch, is he, Traffic Fluid?
No, absolutely.
Yes, he was coming off the back of a long absence and he was a massive price yesterday, but I don't know.
He's always been a useful horse.
Yeah, he's just another one that's fragile, isn't he?
Yeah.
But it was a race that was... It was okay to watch until the final fence when everything fell apart and you thought, it wasn't great. The one... race that actually I did enjoy a great deal was the first on the card when Sporting John beat Pipe Smoker and Master Debonair.
Yeah,
you were going into the race thinking somebody somewhere, and it doesn't matter who wins, is about to lose a Cheltenham Festival bet because Master Debonair in the Supreme, maybe Sporting John for the same race as well. Someone somewhere will be about to lose his bet, and I don't think either of them did. I think Master Debonair still got a chance in the Supreme.
Okay.
He over-raced probably over a trip that was a bit too far for him. And Sporting John, unless you backed him for the Supreme, you've probably lost your bet there because he looks every inch a Ballymore horse, doesn't he? Especially with Chantry House around for Nicky Henderson. But, I mean, both of them have still got their chances. Pipe Smoker wouldn't be without a chance in whatever race he goes for as well. But it wouldn't be a surprise if there were three very, very good horses in that opening race at Ascot yesterday. Say, everything else aside, from what on the quality we actually saw, some very good performances. I thought Sam Twiston Davis probably gave the ride of the day to Bally Optic in the 225.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to see Bally Optic back winning races as well. Let's turn our attention on to Monday's action. We've got the 4:15 at Lingfield, which is going to be our starting point. First race we're going to preview. 7 furlongs for a handicap here. Bugler Bob is 7-2 at the time recording, as is Royal Dynasty. It's then 11-2 for Critical Thinking. Paula Victoire, 7-1. 8-1 about First Link. Knowing Glance, 17-2. 10-1 Bint Dandy. 11s and bigger prices for the rest of them. A big field lining up here, and the betting tells us it's going to be a competitive race, and actually quite a few of these in pretty good form, really.
Yeah, you wouldn't get many races of this sort of quality, a 0-70, where the first two come in off the back of a win, the next two finish third in Nick Paula Victoire and Critical Thinking, and a few others have at least won in recent times, the likes of Bint Dandy 3 outings ago, and has been running in some pretty good races for Charlie Wallace. But it is Critical Thinking that I'm going to side with. The David Lochnan team have been in absolutely fantastic form at the moment. Pretty much everything is running their race. They've had a few winners as well, the likes of I Think So, back more at the start of February at Wolverhampton. But since then, since that winner, they've had a third, fourth, third, second, fifth, second and fourth. Mm. They might not all be winning, but pretty much all of them are really running their races. So you can't say too much against the stable form. They're all running okay. Critical Thinking has been one that he only ran 9 days ago behind Chucky Dunedin. I didn't think that was a bad race at all, with Lucky Lodge in second place. But Critical Thinking had to come from a long way back when you got the likes of Chucky Dunedin, who went round the inner and got a better run through. Lucky Lodge didn't have a perfect run through, but Critical Thinking had to go round the houses. Got no sort of nice run whatsoever. Lingfield is not going to be perfect for Critical Thinking if the same happens again, but it is a track that we know runners can absolutely fly home down the outside. Lucky Lodge, the second of that, has run okay since. He ran a nice race actually at Newcastle as we're talking last night back on the 15th. But look, I can see a Critical Thinking off a mark of 68 going very close at Lingfield in that 4:15. Hopefully things just pan out a little better than at Wolverhampton last time.
Critical thinking then at Lingfield, onto the 7:30 at Kempton. Staying handicap this time around, 2 miles is the trip for them. Vibrance is 6-5, Muriani 7-2. Affluence is 9-2, Sarim is 9-1, Jumping Cats 11-1, 12-1 Jam Session, Rydan is 18-1. Of course, Sheen Murphy back in the UK after a very, very successful time out in Japan, and have been riding in Hong Kong as well, last year's champion jockey, of course. And he's aboard the favourite here for Cheveley Park, a more familiar setting for these Cheveley Park colours. Obviously, we discussed the disappointment of Bally Adam in the Navan bumper on Sunday, but this is a bit more bread and butter for Cheveley Park.
Yeah, and Sheen Murphy, so he's not a long way back on these shores. I think he's only had a couple of rides back, but he's finished.
Yeah, I think was Kempton on Sunday his first day back?
I think so, yeah. He's finished second, and obviously he won the all-weather championships qualifier for the stayers on Rainbow Dreamer. So yep, he's back, and he's landed running, hasn't he, Sheen Murphy? Vibrance looks a horse going places as well. I thought the handicapper was a little bit lenient and only putting Vibrance up £5 last time, up to a mark of 80. There are more races to be won with James Fanshawe's charge, but I do think elsewhere another horse has been a winning machine in recent times, in the last year or so. Affluence for the Martin Smith Yard is another one that I don't think we've seen the best of yet. He was a tricky enough horse when he's when he was younger. I work relatively closely with the Martin Smith team, and me and Martin have argued about this horse so many times. In that I think he was tricky when he was younger and he didn't do a great deal in front. I've had the same conversation with Hector Crouch as well, who's ridden him a few times, but rides against him. I think he's perfectly okay hitting the front now.
Okay.
He used to get to the front, that was it, I'm done. But I think since he's gone hurdling, he's been okay. I mean, take his last few victories. I mean, he won at Leicester, won by 2 3/4 lengths with Owen Walsh today's rider on. He won at Lingfield as well by 7 lengths when Danny Brock rode him. Yes, it was a bad race in truth, and he was off a mark of 50, but still, he's a horse that now seems to be going through with it. And obviously, he won last time beating Banshoof when he got into a bit of trouble at the top of the home straight, had to switch out wide. Yes, it might not have been the strongest of races in the world, but it was full of decent enough yardsticks, the likes of Banshoof and Vexed for the David Simcock team. I just think back up to this trip once again, after a lesser effort over 10 furlongs, Affluence would have to come here with a bit of a chance. And hopefully, Owen Walsh delivers him a bit earlier than he has done before.
Affluence then, the call in that 7:30 race at Kempton. Bit of value against the short price favourite in Vibrance. That goes with Luke's earlier pick of Critical Thinking in the 4:15 at Lingfield. Got those two meetings, plus Carlisle, fingers crossed, on the show on Monday. We're live at 1:20. Hopefully you can join us for all of that. Luke, thank you very much for joining me on this edition, and we'll speak again soon.
Look forward to it.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.